Yesterday, we started to talk a little bit about the importance of role models and surrounding ourselves with the right kinds of influences. And this really is what the Rambam talks about in the sixth parak of Hilchos Deos, Halacha Aleph, where the Rambam writes, Derech b'yoso shel ha'adam. It is only natural, it's basic human nature of all human beings, liom snimshach b'deosav uvimasav achareyav v'chaveirav. It is only normal for us to start becoming accustomed to the way of life that our friends, our colleagues, and our neighbors live life by, because we all want to have a social structure, we all want to have social interactions, and because of that, we all want to fit in, and we want to be a part of whatever it is that we live in or that we interact with, and therefore the Rambam says it would be normal for a person to do that. V'nohag b'minhag anshei medinaso. And we want to have basic etiquette, basic kind of behavior that is considered acceptable in our community. And the fikach, says the Rambam, because it is only natural for a person to want to behave and to want to interact the way those around him or her do, therefore the Rambam says, tzarech adam lehischaber letzadikim. Therefore we need to make a conscious effort, we need to make a conscious choice to make sure that we surround ourselves with people who are of stature, with people who, doesn't mean of social stature, of status, but it means of people who are upstanding citizens. V'leishev etzel ha-chachamim talmid, kedei she-yilmod mi-maseihem. And we should try to surround and inundate our lives with people who are positive influences on us. V'yisrachek min ha-rishayim ha-holchim b'choshech. Because he says, if you don't make such choices, obviously your natural inclination is going to be to try to fit in with whatever kind of friends you happen to have or whatever kind of social interactions you have. And therefore the Rambam says one needs to make a very careful and conscious decision who they surround themselves with, what values they have, and what kinds of people you want to interact with in the life that you live. And the truth is that the Medrash already makes this point in a very profound way. The Medrash is commenting on a pasuk in Sefer Mishle where the Navi says, Holech el chachamim yechkam. So the Medrash says, what does it mean? If you translate it, it seems to mean somebody who goes to a chacham will become smart. Really? Is that just by diffusion? That's by osmosis? That's the way it goes? So if I spend a whole day in the presence of Albert Einstein, I'm going to become a genius? If I go in a room with a brilliant scientist, I'm going to become a scientist? Obviously, it doesn't work that way. It takes years and years to develop to become the great person that these individuals were, or years and years to become the great Talmud Chacham. So what does it mean, Holech el Chachamim yechkam, that somebody who goes out of his way to spend time with a Chacham will become smart, says the Medrash so beautifully. Mashal lemi shenichnas lechanusel shalbosem. Say, for example, writes the Medrash, that I find myself in a shopping mall, and I see all kinds of different stores, and I decide to take a stop into the perfume shop. I don't know, is there a name for that? Fancier than perfume shop? I don't know. So you go in, and you're looking around, and then you see, after 10, 15 minutes looking around, trying out different flavors, spraying them on your body, spraying them on your clothing, you realize this is way beyond my budget, and I really can't afford this. So I put everything back on the shelves, and unfortunately, I walk out without any product. But says the Medrash, even if it, ultimately I looked around the store and I tried out all the different flavors and then I see that none of them are within my budget and I walk right out, says the Medrash, I am already going to be positively influenced just by the nature of the fact that I was in such a store, that I spent time there, because that's what happens. You walk out and you smell that way. I often feel, you know, a lot of houses have a certain smell. It doesn't mean bad or good, just certain houses have a smell. Anyone ever noticed that? So my wife says that I'm a lot more sensitive than perhaps other people, and I smell things right away. It happens to bother me in my own house sometimes when it smells not bad, just certain houses have a smell. And you know, if this was laundered in a certain person's house, you know it smells like that house. I don't know if anyone else knows what I'm talking about, but that's the way I feel, and that's what the Medrash writes here. Sometimes just by spending time in a certain location, you already develop a smell, not because I did anything, only because I was there. And then the Medrash says in the opposite direction as well, if I walk into a blacksmith, Lechanuso Shaburski, it's hard to imagine that because today we generally don't go into the blacksmith, but imagine you go into a paint store, a paint shop, and you don't even buy anything, but you're walking around looking at all the different paints and looking at all the different things that they do and they work on, you're going to walk out and your clothing's going to be dirty and you're going to have a paint stain on your pants, on your shirt. And that's something that you cannot avoid, because just by the nature of spending time in such an area, in such a atmosphere, that is the nature of what happens. And therefore, the Medrash writes, one has to be so careful to make sure that they choose consciously to be situated in places that are healthy for themselves and for their own development. Like the Rambam says, because it's only natural, ha'adam nimshach achar svivosev. It's only natural for a person to be drawn to their surroundings and to the circumstances in which they find themselves. The great Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, one of the great Gedolim in the 1700s in Germany, he writes in one of his svarim that he thinks that one has to be so careful when choosing friends and when choosing role models, because he says that it's so easy for a friend to drain and to totally siphon out everything good that a person has. You ever watch, sometimes a couple is dating, and one of them happened to be a wonderful person, such a Baal Midos, and over time they just change and they become so different than who they were, sometimes positive, sometimes negative. And when you take a step back and you ask yourself, how did this happen? Sometimes it happens because the other one is having an influence and we're spending very close, intimate time with one another, and it changes a personality. And it could change a personality in two different directions. It could be positive or it could be negative. And says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, it is important, even more important for a person to have a chaver tov, he says, than to have a Rebbe who is tov. Why? Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, if you look in Chazal, the Mishnah writes, Asei lecha rav, you should try to seek out a competent teacher, because that obviously is important for all of us to have a Rebbe. However, the Mishnah then says, Uknei lecha chaver. So what do you mean, Knei lecha chaver? So my father always told me, the Mishnah means, on a very basic level, if you have to pay money to get into the Rebbe, you don't belong there. If you have to pay money for access to your teacher, then that's not a teacher, that's not a Melamed Torah. The right Melamed Torah is somebody who gives it, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you the gift of teaching Torah, you have an obligation to give it and to teach it. And if you have to pay money, my father always told me, stay away from such Rebbes. That means you don't belong there. Asei lecha rav, uknei lecha chaver. Sometimes we need to invest in our friends. Ask Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, why do I need to invest in a friend? And he explains, because having a good friend and having somebody who is a responsible person who can look at me in my life and really understand what my life is about and what I'm trying to aspire toward, says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, chaver tov, poel yoser me asara rabbanim. That is the lashon of Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz. One good friend is able to influence more in my life than 10 rabbis and all the speeches in the world and all the musar. It's not as powerful as one good friend who really understands me and who is able to impact and affect my life in a positive way. And that is a very important lesson that the Medrash here is teaching us, and that's what Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz picks up on as well. One of the great Balei Machshava in the last 100 years was Rabbi Eliyahu Dessler, and he writes in his Sefer, Michtav Me Eliyahu, B'nei Adam Choshvim. He says, many people think, Ki Hashpas Hasviva Osaroshim Chashuv. We think that our atmosphere only makes an impression on Yeladim V'chalushe Hadas, on people who are fragile and people who are flimsy. Says Rav Dessler in the Michtav Eliyahu, we try to shield our children. We don't want them to be in this kind of school because they're going to be negatively influenced by this and by that. And this kid grew up in that kind of house. And we're so careful what we let them see on the computer and what we don't let them see. And we're so careful about all different things. We try to shield our children because they're so impressionable and they're so flimsy sometimes. And he says that is something that is an appropriate thing for a parent to do. And they need to be vigilant of what they expose their children to and what they make sure to shield them from. At the same time, he says, Aval Eino Kein, there's a fundamental mistake in that way of thinking. Because Hasviva Oseroshim Afilu Al Hachi Gadol, you could be the most capable, the most competent, you can be the most stable individual in the world, and yet you get into a new atmosphere, into a new work setting, into a new circle of friends, you move to a new community, whatever it may be, and you could have been the most stable, professional individual who is self-supporting and has your own support system, not monetarily, but in every other way of life, and your friends can change your entire perspective. So just because you're no longer a child, says Rav Dessler, don't think that that danger is no longer there. This is something we need to make sure not only that we shield our children from, but adults need to be wary of the same thing. And it wears us down. I heard an amazing vart this week from somebody sent me a clip of Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg, who is a good friend who lives in Florida in Boca Raton Synagogue, and he said over an amazing vart from the Chedushei Harim. I didn't have a chance to look it up because I don't have a Chedushei Harim at home, But I'm sure if he says it's the Chiddush Erim, I'm sure it is. And if not, it's a great Vard anyway. What does it say? V'hotseisi eschem mitachas sivlos Mitzrayim. So the simple understanding of the pasuk is, we should, God says he will take us out from the shackles of Mitzrayim, sivlos Mitzrayim. But perhaps the Chiddush Erim writes, Aderech Hadrash, obviously it's a Chassidish of art, but it's a beautiful insight. And the Chiddush Erim writes, Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. There were 100 different ways that you could have described Avoda Kasha. God says, I'm going to take you out from all the backbreaking work and from all of the pogroms and all the terrible things that the Egyptians are doing. No. The choice word that the Torah uses here is Mitachas Sivlos Mitzrayim. And the Chiddush Erim suggests perhaps what the Torah is alluding to is part of the problem is we spend so much time in Egypt, so much time in Mitzrayim, that we have now the ability, lisbol et Mitzrayim, that we have the ability now to handle and to endure all that Mitzrayim represents because we've been here for so long. So yes, when we first came, did it bother us that there was such a corrupt and contaminated culture that we needed to live in Goshen all by ourselves and make sure not to integrate, not to assimilate? Of course that's how we felt. But over time, we then became accustomed to their way of life, and we then started to get used to all of the craziness that Mitzrayim stood for. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I need to take you out of Egypt. Why? Because you have built up an attitude of Sivlos Mitzrayim, that now you're willing to tolerate all that Egypt stands for, which is so antithetical to what the Jewish community stands for. And that, writes the Chiddush Erim, is what it means. Says Rav Dessler, it works like that at every stage of life. It's not only children, it's every stage of life, it's an adult as well, has the same danger that you get used to something and ultimately you begin lisbolota, you begin to become accustomed to it and you accept it and it's okay. There are things that we see now being publicized on the news, we see things that are being done that we would have been ashamed of 10 years ago for us to even see such a thing. And now we're sharing it on social media and we're sending it to our friends and we think it's a big joke and we think it's funny because we also have become accustomed to Sivlos Mitzrayim. We all live in a society, we all live in a culture, and we all have that opportunity to either rise above it or to in some way be influenced by it. And says the Michta Melio, don't ever forget as an adult, it is the very same problem as we have when we talk about children. In fact, the Rambam writes a very surprising halacha in Hilchos Ishus. The Rambam says, what happens when you have a couple who are very happily married and now they decide to get divorced? Well, obviously they weren't happily married if now they're getting divorced, but for some reason they're getting divorced circumstantially. So the Rambam says, obviously the husband has to give a ksuba to his wife. That's what he signed up to when he got married. What if the wife is clearly at fault for destroying the marriage? Then obviously he's absolved of his obligation to give her the ksuba. So now, that's very simple when you just give the general rule. If he's at fault, he gives a ksuba. If she's at fault, she loses a ksuba. Now, not everything is always as clear cut. There's always two sides to the story. He said, she said. Now says the Rambam, what happens in the following case? They're happily married, everybody's fine, everything's going very well, but the neighborhood changed. They're living in a certain neighborhood. When they moved in 25 years ago, when they first got married, things seemed to be a certain way, and then the neighborhood seems to have developed, and it veered off into a very different direction from what they originally thought, and it happens all the time. And the husband says, well, I have my seat in shul, and I have my friends who I talk to, and I have my social life, and I go out for coffee on Sundays with this group, and I go out Monday nights with that group, and I have my shir that I go to, and everything's great, and I don't want to move. And the wife says, but look around. Look what this neighborhood has turned into. This is not what we signed up to. I don't want to live here. And she demands that because the moral and ethical values of the community are not what they once were, and it's not the way we want our family's foundation to be built, she demands that we move. And he says, no, life is comfortable, says the Rambam. In such a case, who is responsible for destroying that marriage? Husband. The husband. What do you mean the husband? But I'm status quo. I didn't change. You changed on me. You decided that you want to move out. I'm not interested in moving. I don't want to sell the house. We already invested so much. Our whole life is here. I don't want to move somewhere else, says the Rambam, in such a case. Whichever one, the husband or the wife, whoever chooses not to go along because they want to stay in the community that is not living at the level where they want it, where they once ideally wanted it to be, says the Rambam, that party is at fault for destroying the marriage. And if it's the wife, she does not lose her ksuba, even though she's the one who's changing and he's the one who's staying status quo. And then the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva another very surprising halacha. The Rambam there, when he talks about the process of tshuva, he says, there are chamisha dvarim, there are five things, Ha'osa osam. Look, all of us do averus. We're all human beings. That's part of the human condition. That's part of the way we naturally are. However, the Rambam says, certain times in life we know that we're doing wrong, and therefore we know that we have the ability to overcome that which we do wrong. We have the ability to do tshuva. Writes the Rambam, there are certain things in life that are very difficult to do tshuva for, not because of the magnitude of the avera, but rather because most people don't even realize that it is an avera. And if you don't even realize there's a problem, how can one go about doing tshuva for a problem that they don't even know exists? And the Rambam says, these are some areas of life that are so dakus, that are so sensitive, that people can just fall right into it, that they don't even realize where they are. And one of those, says the Rambam, is Lashon Hara and Rechilos. It's so easy to engage in conversation, and you don't realize, I said something negative, I shouldn't have said it. And the Rambam says, that's one of those examples where people don't even realize how serious the Avera is, because it's just the way that people talk, Lashon Hara and Rechilos. But then the Rambam writes a very famous line, which is, HaMischaber LeRasha, Mipnei Shehu Lomed Mimaisav. Says the Rambam, it's very hard to do tshuva from somebody who has associated with the wrong group of friends. Because how am I going to pull away? And one day leads to the next, where I don't even realize how far down I have gone. Because we've all developed as friends, we've developed as a community, and now we find ourselves where we are. It's very hard to look 10 years back, and in retrospect, to recreate what did I used to be, what did my values used to be, and what are they today? Writes the Rambam, it's so difficult to do tshuva for that, because one doesn't even notice how much of a problem it is. And the more difficult it is to recognize a problem, the more difficult it is to ever reconstruct that problem and do tshuva for it, which is what we find by Avraham Avinu. One of the nisyonos of Avraham Avinu, we assume that all of them were difficult, otherwise they wouldn't be called a nisayon. And one of them was, lech lecha me'artzecha mimoladetecha. That was considered to be a very serious nisayon. When Avraham Avinu was told to take everything that he knew, all that he grew up with, all that he was familiar with, everything he was comfortable with, and leave it aside and say, I'm going to pull myself away and I'm going to recreate my life and become something different and start it all anew and now generate a whole new life for myself with a whole new family. That was one of the Asara Nisyonos of Avraham Avinu that was considered to be a very difficult test. Because like the Rambam says, it's very difficult for a person to pull away from that which they grow up with, from that which they are considered to be accustomed to. And therefore the Rambam says, that is something that one needs to keep in mind, not only with the laws of tshuva, but also in general, as the Rambam writes, since this is the natural way of life, derech b'yaso shel ha'adam, it's something that we need to be vigilant of, not only as children, but also in our adult years of life as well. Rab